is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, and this is Purim. This is March the 12th, 2020, and we are in big times, are we not? We are in big times. Now, I've been running a series on healing since the middle of February, and we are just beginning to dawn on us the severity of the COVID-19 outbreak. I heard yesterday, and verified it today, that many people who are getting well, who are recovering, are getting sick again and dying. That's when I started to get concerned. Okay, it's not time to panic. It's never time to panic. And, you know, what I'm looking around Austin, and Austin is business as usual. I had a client come to me coughing and sneezing Monday. business as usual. Well, South by Southwest is closed down, and that didn't make me worried because Indeed was the first group that pulled out, and they are owned by a Japanese company, and is probably prudent to not have a whole lot of young people all crammed together from all over the world, and nobody wanted the liability. But it's business as usual. My college is dithering around and asking if everyone has an internet connection. Like, since they don't plan enough computers, not by half, not by a quarter, for all of us adjunct professors, I think they should know that we have computers at home. But anyway, also, we don't know how to work the program. Even the tech department doesn't know how to work the program because it's new on how to run classes. Anyway, I'm taken care of, but what I'm saying is not impressed at the even seriousness with which people are preparing for the possibility here. In Austin, in San Antonio, I understand a number of universities have closed down for the semester. And so I think they understand the potential of the severity of the problem. The prophet said early in this year, and even before the secular year began, that we would have a shaking this year. And this is a shaking. This could clearly be an apocalyptic, and I use that word so seriously. Yes, this could certainly be one of the plagues of the Bible. And notice that it was not caused by God. God did not create the COVID-19 virus. Did not. We know this. John Enlow, that's a pretty good track record as a prophet, has said that the Lord told him that the Lord did a little of his own bioengineering. So it is my understanding that the COVID-19 was bioengineered as a weapon. The Israeli government put that out mid-February. The other people seem not to agree with that. But anyway, that's my understanding. And apparently it's John Enlow's understanding. He said that the Lord, the picture I get is that here's these evil scientists, we're going to stick this in and we're going to stick that in, and they're bioengineering this, and the Lord put in a drop. He said that this virus will disintegrate when it comes into faith. Hallelujah. So may this be a situation where Satan meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And this is a great note to strike on Purim. So I am not saying go out and be stupid. I still would, faith without works is dead, be prudent. Okay, do the right things to avoid sharing your infections. And hope that prudence can contain this virus. But should it become an apocalyptic nightmare, then go out and be a person full of faith. when everybody else is panicking. Now, today, I understand there are some people who are going crazy and doing things like stocking up on toilet paper. You see, that's silly. That's silly. But if it comes to a situation where people are beside themselves because there are bodies sticking out the, you know, we're putting body bags outside the door and the crematorium is having a hard time keeping up. So that was the situation in Wuhan. Then they're going to need people who are people of faith, who know how to handle situations like that. Just a calm person who says, well, they're going, I'm going crazy. So there was a picture of somebody who over her phone was saying that she was going crazy. And maybe she literally was. Whether this was an effect of the germ or whether this was a psychological reaction, doesn't matter. The point is that if her sister had been able to take her hand and say, let us pray. So are you right with God? So should you die, you will be fine. So people can die in peace if they're going to die. And I understand that there were Christians walking up and down the streets in Wuhan helping people. So they had on yellow jackets to identify themselves as Christians, even though they could be killed or jailed, prisoned for that in some times and places in China. But they're identifying themselves as Christians who are willing to help, even at the risk of their own lives. And so bless them, bless them, bless them. And that should cause a turning of hearts of the population and of the government of China. This is the way real Christians are. This is being a mature son or daughter of God, is to be Jesus's hands and feet extended in the world to help other people, to show compassion. And Jesus was moved with compassion. Now, Jesus was moved with compassion and healed people and delivered them from the works of the devil. And so we're going to assume that Satan is at the root cause of this, even though some humans engineered this. And my understanding is, according to the news I heard, that it was formulated in a U.S. lab and sold by a different person than the creator, sold to Wuhan. But then something went wrong that it got out, and that it was an accident in Wuhan. Anyway, that's my understanding. Maybe other people have an understanding. But however the proximate cause in terms of what humans did, which may have been evil or stupid, Satan is behind it. So this is the way we generally think classically as Christians, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So whether you want to call Satan a personification or not, but the point is, follow with me, track with me, okay? And if you're a Christian who understands this, don't get your nose out of joint because I'm trying to help everybody in the class understand, okay? So Satan did this. And now I've lost my train of thought because I could just hear all the comments and the nattering. I can. Anybody who's done this for a long time. But this is a point to make in Purim. So even though God, the Satan meant it for evil, God meant it for good, God will turn it around. So it is a point of advertisement of the goodness of the Lord when the yellow jackets in China extend. But there is also a miraculous power of God that has manifested in history and should manifest in our lives too. And this is like John G. Lake was helping in a bad epidemic in South Africa, and they could use a microscope and see that the plague germs on his hands would die. When they touched him, they died because he was so full of the anointing. And so let us get closer to Jesus and more like Jesus, because if the plague came near Jesus, Jesus would not be dying. The plague would be dying. Hallelujah. And so this is what happened on Purim, is that Haman, the corrupt plotter in the court of the king, Ahasuerus is a term which means father. So this may have been Cyrus, anyway, that Esther was married to, but whoever he was, the great king in Persia, and Esther was discriminated against, minority, and wasn't, she was a covert ninja sheep, and she wasn't letting anyone know she was a Jew, and she was fulfilling her duties quite well, with favor, possibly also she had favor, possibly because she could read, but because she was submissive and did her job well, she had favor. And so her relative, Mordecai, discovered the plot against Cyrus, the king, and it was communicated to the king and put in the annals of his chronicling of the history of his reign. And then Haman plotted to kill all the Jews, and again it was discovered, and through Esther it was told to the king, and the king could not reverse his decree. He had agreed with Haman that people in this category could be killed, but he then made a new decree that Jews could defend themselves. And rather than promulgating this new decree himself, he let Esther and Mordecai do it. This is highly unusual. And so here's my revelation that I caught this morning, March 12th, 2020, as one of my favorite preachers and pundits was discussing Purim. I realized this is exactly the situation that we are in today. The teachers are teaching stand up and war, stand up and war, stand up and war. That just because it is happening does not mean it is the will of God. And we have been taught that for some years. Just because it is happening does not mean that it is necessarily, therefore, the will of God. God wishes no one to perish, but all to come to the knowledge, saving knowledge, correct? Is this not true? Yes. And is everyone saved? Do they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus? Does everyone before they die? Not that we know of. Some people die shaking their fist and say, I will not be saved. And so, therefore, God's will does not always have sway. And why is that? Because he gave dominion to humans. Genesis 1 and 26. Now, Jesus bought that back from Satan. The keys to death, hell, and the grave. He has all authority is given to Jesus. But we have authority in Jesus. We are in Jesus, and Jesus is in us. And so we have authority. So it is time for us to take our spiritual authority. Spiritual authority in prayer, spiritual authority in our families, and spiritual authority in our sphere of influence. And it seems to me that all the leading teachers are teaching this. And it seems to me that this is my challenge in life, and it is now your challenge in life, because here we are in a shaking. All things that can be shaken will be shaken eventually. And so let us stand up and start activating the healing prayers that we know about. Now, it seems to me that the most effective way of praying is to get very close to God first. Because we know that if he hears us, we therefore have what we are praying. So let's get real close so he can hear us. And this is a whole teaching, but let's be obedient, forgive everyone so that our channels are clean, and then we can receive. So Jesus has already done it. His work is finished. His blood is enough. And we know this, that healing is in the atonement. We've been taught that for some time. And I believe I've finally figured out that provision is in the atonement too. The crowns of thorns, this is the cares of this life. And Jesus suffered the crown of thorns. And therefore, in him, I'm claiming victory over that. So I'm not arrived so perfect, you know. I'm not making $1 million, but I'm going to take this by faith. I'm going to take provision by faith. And I have a longer standing understanding of healing. I'm taking healing by faith. And I have prayed for myself and prayed for others for healing and seen results often. And so I'm going to keep doing that. And you know what? Even if I don't see results, I'm going to keep doing it. And even if I lose some battles, I'm going to keep fighting. Just imagine if you're in the battle. Perhaps you've read the Lord of the Rings, and you may have seen the movie, but reading it, I think, is also really helpful. You just picture yourself there in the dark night, and your hand is tired, but you keep at it, and you go by will. And so I know how that would be. And so let us take that mindset into our spiritual battles too. So just because I get a blow, so in a spiritual battle, when I get a blow, somebody says something horrible to me and I'm just so upset and so hurt or so angry, and this distracts me from the battle. It's time to stop that and just be focused on the battle and focused on Jesus and going toward that and enforcing the blessing and wield the sword, which is the word of God, and keeping the shield of faith instead of sitting down and whining. Okay, so I understand that. And sometimes we do need compassion. It's time we had compassion, but Jesus had compassion and healed and spoke a word. And sometimes he chewed the disciples out, didn't he? Like, oh, ye of little faith. You know, somebody said he rolled his eyes like, why couldn't you believe? So probably I do that too, but I'm going to have compassion on you because I know we're both fighting. We're both fighting and we both have our positions. So what I'm saying is, let's pick up that sword, and your arm may be tired. Pick up the sword, pick up the shield, and let's go forward. And having done all, to stand on the promises. Hallelujah. So provision is in the atonement. That's a new inside I've never heard preached. And this is Purim. So God has permitted, by allowing the fall, he's permitted these kinds of things. And the evil has grown to the extent, the evil intelligence that we can make weaponized viruses, and the stupidity has grown to the extent that it's now spreading through the world. And we really don't know what to do. And it's possible that we could get to men's hearts failing them for fear. But we know what to do because we're not given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And further, by the way, just in case you wondered, we are not appointed to wrath. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is explicitly in the context of end time tribulation. And so it doesn't matter what your eschatological understanding is. This is going to hold true. So how God works this out, whether he zips us up in the rapture before the tribulation or after or during or whatever, however it works out, I don't have to know that as much as I know this, that God did not save up wrath for the children, for his children, and certainly not for the obedient, mature sons and daughters of God. So let's be those. Let's enforce the blessing. And Thessalonians in general is great to be reading. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 3 and 3. This is a scripture that you have not heard recently. No man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. So, we're not the first people to ever have a problem. And I think in the modern world, because we have it so easy, we're just completely offended and flabbergasted when we have a problem. And especially if we hear unending blessing teaching. And so, I think it's those people, us people in particular, that are tempted to throw down the sword because we're scandalized. Well, so we need a balanced teaching. Yes, we are persecuted because we are Christians, and that's happening increasingly. Yes, this world is just a frustrating place to be because things just don't tend to work out well. That's called the fall. Hallelujah. But it becomes the kind of shell that we have to work at, like a little baby chick. The baby chick has to push out and overcome the shell to be strong. And in this case, this is what is happening. Haman is going to die on his own gallows. So you can persecute people only so long before, when they continue to be loving, it backfires. And it becomes, you know, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, and it has always been so. Haman will die on his own gallows. And as we have higher density going back and forth, yes, pandemics can spread faster, but so does actual truth. And so Haman will die on his own gallows. And you can cover up the healing miracles of God for so long, like you never see them on CNN, ABC, PBS, you don't. But there were healing miracles on TBN 3-4 times a day, but nobody was watching that. Well, nobody. A quarter of the population would see it sometime in the year, and 10% of the population watched it all the time, roughly. And so now, when it becomes more important, it will be a fact that cannot be covered up. Haman will die on his own gallows. But what we haven't noticed in the story is that Mordecai and Esther are responsible for deciding how the enforcement will happen and what the decree actually is. And so it is time for the sons and daughters of God to stand up and enforce the blessing. And I would say that many of the ministers are saying this. I get an email from Mario Murillo. He is an evangelist, and incidentally, he's got revivals, tent crusades going on up and down Highway 19 in California, and people are getting saved, getting off drug addictions. You know, California has just fallen apart in some ways. And I'm being told this by people who are not necessarily people of faith, who don't have any kind of a priori motivation to tell me this. But for instance, I had a European who went to San Francisco come back and say, oh my gosh, they're just needles on the ground. There's a line of people wanting food, and it's just a horrible place. Well, this is what has happened with the social change in San Francisco. It's gone downhill, and landlords are coming to Texas, and money is coming to Texas, and high-tech business are coming to Texas, fleeing California. So let's don't bring the same problems you know, the mindset is what created the situation. But anyway, Mario Murillo from San Francisco, he says, the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus inflicted the greatest wound evil has ever known. Today in America, we need to strike evil another massive blow. To do this, we must realize that we are in a war, albeit an invisible war. But many Christians are paralyzed that an invisible war is raging all around them. So he's saying, don't be paralyzed by that. Don't be fooled that if you don't declare war on Satan, that he hasn't declared war on you, because he has. You must settle the question that you're in a war and that Satan appears masquerading as a sheep when he is a wolf. And so we need to pray prevailing prayers. Jesus said, pray, thy will be done on earth. So let's get with it and let's pick up our instruments of war, as it were, from Ephesians 6, our breastplate of righteousness, our helmet of salvation, shod our feet with the gospel of truth, the belt of truth. Anyway, I don't have time to turn there, but you get the idea, and cover everything with the shield of faith, and then overarching, pray in all kinds of prayer. Amen. So we pray for our children, we pray for our city, we pray for our nation, and we pray for healing. Great shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. We're going to go out there and in prayer enforce the blessing today in the midst of a possible pandemic.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to greatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.